You are listening to Let's Get Metaphysical. This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed. It should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discernment, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn from this show.
Let's get metaphysical.
Welcome to Let's Get Metaphysical, the podcast that explores the intersections of science and spirituality. I'm your host, Renata Maniaci, and I'm here to help you with your awakening process and remind you that you are a spiritual being having a temporary human experience here on lovely planet Earth. This is Season 5, The Great Awakening. In this season, we are focusing on the massive shift in consciousness currently happening on planet Earth. So far this season, I have created episodes based on information I think is important to share, and I've also had guests on the show to offer their views and their tools during these transformative times. Today, I'm excited to have Victor Sims on the show to talk about consciousness-assisted technology and ascension support tools. Victor Sims is the inventor of more than 50 energy balancing products, including the eLibra energy balancing system, an energy medicine device used by hundreds of practitioners around the world. Alongside an initial solid grounding in the more conventional fields of mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, electronics, software development, and sound engineering, Victor found that his interests in spiritual development and consciousness were ever growing, too. He has researched and studied many healing modalities and has engaged in self-development disciplines to attune himself to higher meditative practice and ability. Although the eLibra system was not the first practical energy medicine device to the market, Victor was able in the 1990s to bring a fresh perspective to the concept of creating an interaction between technology and consciousness in order to create a machine that could identify energetic blockages and deficiencies within a living body and instruct the body on what it needed to do to kickstart the body's own healing system and return it to balance. Victor continues to innovate and to push the boundaries of what is possible. He is a frequent speaker at paradigm-defining conferences and loves to engage with like-minded individuals in the ongoing pursuit of higher knowledge and spiritual progression. Victor and I had this conversation several months ago, just before the COVID pandemic began in earnest. And I think the tools and tech that Victor has created are perfect to highlight at this time in the world. His inventions are known for helping humans to heal themselves on all levels and to elevate in consciousness. And now feels like the perfect time to share this conversation on ascension support tools. So let's jump right into the interview. Are you ready? Let's get meta. And I am here with Victor Sims today. Victor, thank you so much for joining. I'm so honored to have you on the show.
Oh, it's lovely to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely. Victor, I start all of my interviews the same way. I would like to ask you if you could share a metaphysical or spiritual experience that you've had with us and our listeners.
Yes, I've... Back, I think it was in 1992, and I've been doing this sort of work for about 30 years now. But in 1992, I had an experience where I was on a course in a workshop in a very large room. It was the graduate center at our local hospital, and they were running an NLP course, which is Neuro-Linguistic Programming course. It was an 18-month thing, you know, you go every other weekend for a couple of days, and it was a great thing. Anyway, so one of these workshops was about walking the timeline. I hadn't heard of this, but I've always been interested in time for some reason. I don't know why, but time has fascinated me. So there we were in this workshop, and the idea is that you pair up with somebody and you walk along this line on the floor, and you've already put bits of paper on the floor representing, you know, a timeline. So, and the idea is that you pose a question. So you close your eyes, you pose a question, and then your colleague moves you forward onto the next square, which may be 3 months away, and you have a feeling in your body what that might feel like. You think, oh yes, that feels good, or it doesn't feel good, and so you do the process like that. After a couple of hours of doing this, you know, we're all not exactly bored, but we're on our own. We didn't have a colleague. We would just choose a bit of the room, put our bits of paper down, close our eyes, you know, sort of we knew where we were going. We could feel the paper in our feet. And anyway, I must have dozed off or something, or not been completely present with what I was doing. And I suddenly found myself walking off this timeline into another reality. And it was this experience. I was just walking along, and suddenly I burst into another room. Wow. And in this other room, there were several people, maybe half a dozen people, some sitting, some standing. Some had, I would say, like a white coat, like technician's coat, rather than doctors. Certainly not a mental home, but they were there anyway in this room. And from their perspective, I burst through the wall, and they said to me, "What the hell are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Get back on your timeline." And I was absolutely gobsmacked to be the answer. I was just like, "What? What's going on here?" So I came back onto my timeline, which just meant basically opening my eyes, and there I was, you know, almost on my timeline, but not quite. And so then I reported it to the teacher, and we had this big discussion. I said, "Well, this is what's just happened to me. It's just absolutely amazing."
Wow. So, can I ask questions about this?
Of course you can. Yeah, help yourself.
These were the people you saw were human.
Yes.
And they were, were they English? Like, did they have your, like, were they, you know, from your same, like, country and space and time?
Yes, I think they were. Yes, there was only one person spoke. Sure. And he was sitting down, almost side view, almost like he was, it's almost as though they were in a breakout room, you know, in a coffee room.
Did you know where they were? Like,
no.
Did you ever say, okay.
No, I couldn't figure that out. But there was a table. There was one table, a longish table that you would have in a coffee room, or a, you know, somewhere to have a cup of coffee. And there was people standing up at the door, and this one person who spoke to me was sitting down, and I came in to his side, so in front of him, but to his side, and he yelled at me. He said, "What are you doing here? Get back on your timeline." And it was like, wow, really?
Well, of course, that's okay. Me is that they said that, get back on your timeline, as though that has happened before to them and they know what that is.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yes. I suddenly thought of, what's that movie, The Adjustment Bureau. You know, have you seen that?
No,
it's a great movie.
Okay.
And you can imagine the characters in that were keeping an eye on people, and they were trying to guide them to make certain choices in their life and correct them if they're not. Hence the name Adjustment Bureau.
And so, these guys were like, "Get out of here! This isn't your time." That's
right. No, but they were serious. They weren't like, "Oh, you know, hey guys, you shouldn't be here. Just get back." They were not. They were very, very. Exactly.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's really interesting. I've never heard anybody say that before. Although I'm curious, I'm always curious when folks share their spiritual and metaphysical experiences on the show as to how many people listening, you know, have had similar experiences like that. And I always encourage my listeners to like, you know, like write into the show if that thing happened to you, because it's interesting to find out. But have you heard of that happening to anybody else? Or has that happened to you since then at all?
Well, the answer is I've been pursuing that type of investigation myself, and I have had, you know, various different insights from various different teachers, and also my inner guides and my, you know, my higher self in connection, or whatever, however you want to describe that. And there's a lot of there's a lot of information coming out right now that I get sometimes intuitively, but also, you know, I can also see people online on various different channels. And it's all about multi-realities, you know, the multi-realities that we live in, and that we can change our own reality. And I think that's an incredible tool, because it is a tool, if you know how to change your own reality. Wow. You know, there's a lot of New Age BS out there. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, oh, there's lots of parallel realities and multi-universes and all that sort of thing. And there's no such thing as time. It's just an illusion. Mm. Okay, well, I've heard this for 30 years. If I ask the question, okay, so what is time then? Nobody can answer me. They just said, oh, it's an illusion. It's like, well, explain that to me and explain how that works. Okay, well, my inner guides in the last couple of years have explained how that works and that it is an illusion. And actually now it doesn't seem like a New Age BS. It actually feels very real now. Right. So I'm a bit more mindful when I challenge people about the BS side of it. And that actually I'm almost a believer myself. No, I am a believer myself.
Of course you are. I like that your guides softly tried to, you know, inform you about what the reality going on there is. That's awesome. That's what they're there for, right?
It is. And my background as an engineer of various different skill sets.
Yeah, let's jump into that. I want to hear way more about you. And can we, let's start with, what is consciousness assisted technology? You've also said technology assisted consciousness. What is this technology, and how does it work?
Again, for this length of period of time I've been doing this, which is the late 89, I think I started it somewhere, I've had some amazing teachers. I have an enormous amount of gratitude for my teachers. There's been some fantastic teachers among them, really. Mm. And, you know, I think from day one of this, I had the feeling that with their help and their inspiration was to try and figure out how humans are attached to all of their baggage. And everybody's got a story, you know, whatever it is, rape, pillage, this, that, and the other, war zone, you know, every form of emotion has got often a horrific story to it. But I have experienced many different miracles, literally, when I've been doing healing or when I've been helping people with this type of consciousness technology. And one of the most amazing things is if I'm doing a session, which is done with a piece of equipment, so I'm not really doing the session, I'm just facilitating the session. Right. And a person can have this dreadful trauma. You know, they might have had it for 20 years or longer, and they just can't get past it. Anyway, making the right space, you could say, for them, or the right environment, the right vibration, and they suddenly, within themselves, they agree on a higher level, obviously, to that vibration. So in other words, I've set up some sort, or my guides, I'm not taking any credit for this, but my guides were set up some sort of environment, which is a high vibrational, high frequency environment. And we offer that environment to the person because it's the person that does the healing at the end of the day. I mean, you could do hands-on healing, you can connect them up to any sorts of machines, whatever. But no, it's the person does their own healing at the end of the day.
I believe that too.
Kickstarts their own process. Anyway, so I've seen people get to this point many times where they had this trauma, and suddenly, in one split second, they have a new insight to that trauma. They suddenly are willing, for whatever reason, to let it go. And that completely, from that moment forward, changes their perspective and can dramatically change their life from the point that they will never have that issue at that same level again. Maybe never have that issue again, or never have it at that level that they had it.
Right.
But you know, when I look at that, so I'm a computer person, engineer, I go into that in a second, but when I look at that, I think, hang on a minute. So nothing's really happened. You know, Trump's still in power. Boris, God bless him, is still the Prime Minister of England, and everything else is running smoothly. Nothing has happened out there in the world, but that person has had this mega shift in their consciousness.
Right.
So I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. They've just changed their mind. They've just changed their program.
Mm-hmm.
So is every trauma, is every emotional issue of that nature, is it just a program? And I believe the answer is absolutely it is. So anything that a person holds on to, you know, anything that they're attached to, anything that they don't even know how they've got it, they've come in this life with it even as a blueprint, right. They don't know how they've got it, but they have the capacity of changing that in a split second given the right environment. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is just, that to see that is a miracle that happens. And I'm really there now, and this has been, you know, for the last 10 years since I realized this, I'm there now to figure out, well, what did they do? What was it that helped them change their mind? What vibrational pattern? What bit of consciousness? What frequency? What, you know? So I'm very curious about that sort of thing, and I've dedicated all the things that I do in order to figure out what just happened and how can we find a piece of equipment or a skill or something like that will undo or help them change their perspective. Because I was shown something else as well by my guides, and this is, I wouldn't say it's scary, but it does give you an idea of time. I was shown a picture related to this subject. I was shown a picture. It was like a vision, actually. I was meditating, but my eyes were open at this point. And I was shown a picture where there was a line across the road. So it was a tarmac road. It had verges on the side. And there were people as far back as you could see behind carrying rucksacks, cases, holdalls, whatever it was. And they're walking up the road and by the side towards this line, which was about 200 feet only, 200 feet, not very fast from here to, well, you can't see that, but here to the shed there. So it was an imminency. There was a, you know, something was going to happen really soon.
Yeah.
But as these people came up to the line, they were not allowed to go past this line carrying anything.
Wow.
Exactly. So that was like, oh, okay, so, you know, there's a line coming up. This is obviously a metaphor, you know, or whatever it might be, an analogy.
Wow,
there's a line coming up, and people are not going to cross it with their baggage. And this was 5 years ago that I found that I saw this. So for the last 5 years, my team and I have been frantically trying to figure out stuff in order to help people through that carrying their baggage or letting go of their baggage issues,
wow,
whatever it might be. So, you know,
using consciousness assisted technology to
exactly
help get your baggage so you can get over that line. I mean, I got shivers while you were talking while you're sharing that vision. It's like a line. It's a certain level of consciousness, right?
Yes, a higher consciousness.
Right.
And I've added to that in my thought process, and we've got a product that we're very good at bridging. In our company, we're very good at bridging to energetic concepts. So an energetic concept might be we could easily, either doing it manually, i.e. by ourselves, and most of the audience out there could probably do the same. So if you give an example, if you wanted to bridge to Jesus, all right, so you're going to pray or bridge to Jesus, you would, you know, you would sit there in meditation and you would extend your consciousness and you would create a bridge energetically to that consciousness that represents that particular being. So it could be done for not only that, it could be a bridging to a sacred place. So there's lots of many sacred places around the world. You know, if you've been to a sacred place and you come back to your house and you think, oh, that was really nice, I loved it there, and you can just bridge back, can't you? I mean, everybody can do this, whether they realize it or not. They can just think of that place, almost remote viewing it is. So they're bridging to that place. And for those who are sensitive, the energy of that place can be felt coming back the other way once you bridge to it.
Okay.
And so we've perfected a technique for bridging to different places using our technology. Now, one of the things we've done is we've been able to bridge to fourth density. Now, this is not fourth dimension. Don't get mistaken with that. We are third dimensional beings moving into another level of consciousness. We call this fourth density. So you can have a third dimensional body, i.e. physical, well, in this reality, physical. Right. But the next stage for us is to move into a higher vibratory level, which is been named fourth density, not by me, but by others. And this fourth density, so it's possible, and we have done this, we've got a pendant that does this. We've been able to program a small pendant that you wear around your neck to capture that bridge to this fourth density for this person. So, for instance, you may have a different reality coming up. So at some point, I'm absolutely certain that we will all move into this fourth density. I won't call it place because it's a place in consciousness, which is, you know, it's a stupid set of words. But there's an event, we'll say. And this event is a higher vibrational event. And it's, you know, we call this a fourth density event. So at some point, everybody's going to move into that. Maybe not at the same time.
So it could happen individually.
It could happen individually.
And individually.
It is. Yes, it is happening. Sorry, cutting you off was a slight delay. It is happening individually. And that's because our planet is moving, you know, through this photon belt, which is like a higher vibrational cloud, if you like, that our planet's moving through for the next couple of thousand years. And as we move through it, we get all these waves of energy, which are causing people to have a spaz attack in the middle of the supermarket. You know, people are just breaking down all over the world with all sorts of issues coming up, just out of the blue. Just for no reason, they just burst into tears or burst into sadness or be very angry, or it's just happening all over the place. So these vibrational waves, we call them, are accumulative. They're accumulative in the person and they're accumulative on the planet, which kind of reamplifies it, if you like. So at certain points, various people are going to fire off, if you like, and have this experience of moving into this fourth density, or at least bridging to it. They might not stay there, they sort of bridge to it and spring back.
They have access to that
access
point, yeah, they did before.
Yeah, so I figured that, you know, I'm a pretty logical sort of guy. I figured that, well, if we're all going to experience that at some point, how about if we made a little gadget or pendant that actually bridged to that place automatically? And people could immerse themselves in that experience and operate from that place of fourth density. And I tell you, it completely changes your perspective on the world that you live in. Because it doesn't seem to have the attachment. I don't mean it's disassociated in any horrible way, but you don't seem to have, the people who wear this, have worn this, don't seem to have the attachment in the same way to earthly things. They bother them less. So things that happen, it's almost a different reality. It probably is a different reality. But it is actually a different reality whilst we're having our 3D experience in our world. I think it's really cool.
I'm just fascinated by all of this. That's why, I mean, I met you and I was like, you know, I want to talk about all this stuff on the podcast. What was your introduction into this world of consciousness assisted technology? How did you start to do this stuff?
I think it just comes from my background, really. Originally, I was taught I grew up as an engineer, so it's a mechanical engineer. You know, I used to weld boxes, steel boxes, and I'm very good practical sort of guy. I then moved into electrical engineering and electronic engineering. And then I became a musician. So I used to play keyboards in a band, which was really cool for a while. I did it full time. And whilst we were doing that, I got the opportunity to go to a recording studio just to, you know, just to help out playing a keyboard for somebody. And I looked through the glass screen, you know, in a studio, if you've been to one, there's this sort of glass screen that separates the musicians from the sound room, you know, the sound engineering room. And I looked through that glass and I said, ooh, I've got to get me that side of the glass. Right. So then I went back to college to learn how to be a sound engineer. So really it started at that point, I must be honest. I had already started to write computer programs because the company I was working with, they invented their first programmable device in 1976.
Wow.
76. So I learned back in 1976 how to start programming. Wow. And I didn't stop. I mean, I
got it right away. This is amazing.
Yes. So when it got a bit more computer-like, because we didn't use computers right back then because there weren't any, when it got more computer-like, I then combined sound engineering and all the mechanical, electrical stuff, electronic stuff, to make a box. A box being a way of storing homeopathic remedies. Mm. So I sampled homeopathic remedies using the equipment that I would find in our studio. Obviously, I modified it, et cetera, but I had all the bits and I just cobbled it together. And unfortunately, it came out right. And I was able to sample remedies like Bart flower remedies, et cetera, and store them and play them back whenever I liked.
Yeah.
And potentize a bottle of fresh water and then test it. And the effect would be that it performs exactly the same as the original substance under blind trials. And I thought, wow, this has got to be something. And I'll tell you another experience I had. I always diverse, you see. I go all over the place.
I love it.
As it comes to my mind, I had an experience in, it was January the 6th in 1991. I had this experience, having told you my background, I had this experience and I was meditating on the fact that I've been able to sample this remedy and had it checked, and people were saying, oh yeah, well, it's this. It's obviously this, you know. in this meditation, I had a vision. And this vision was, do you remember the movie Stargate? Have you seen Stargate? Where it's got this big sort of shimmering portal that they go through. And it's massive, you know, it's like you could get four or five people side by side walking through this sort of gossamer mercury type screen, and they just push through it, you know, and they go through this wormhole into wherever they're going. Yep. Well, I didn't go through the wormhole, but I did put my head through this screen that appeared in front of me. And I do remember moving forward in my seat to look through this screen with relation to sampling these different remedies. Mm. And when I looked through, what I saw was total limitlessness of possibility.
Mm.
It was just this vista of just total limitless what you could do with the concept of sampling an energetic pattern and storing it and using it, you know, for healing in the future. So that is that was something that's kept with me for forever, as you can tell by my enthusiasm and passion, because it was a fantastic experience. So I've held that, you know, ever since, and tried to. Well, I've been working with that concept ever since. Now, the other thing I did on that same topic is that one of my teachers was His Holiness Lama Ganshin. So he's a medicine lama. He's one of the lineage holders of East Tibetan, you know, one of the ones that's been ousted from his monastery, taking refuge in Italy at the time. He did these massive transmissions. So he'd have maybe 300 or 400 people come along to a big auditorium, and we would sit there, and he would come into the room, and we'd spend, you know, a couple of hours, and he would do what's called a transmission, an energetic transmission.
Mm.
Well, they ask you not to do any recording or filming or any taping or anything. And to be honest, there's not much to tape, because it's a silent type of meditation, apart from the odd cough and the lama just mumbling under his beard as he reads his little prayer book. You know, they had these long 6-inch prayer books, about 2 inches wide, and they just flip through and they do these internal chants. And all you hear is, you know, that sort of thing. So I couldn't really hear that anyway. But what I did is I recorded it on my very cheap Sony Walkman type thing with a very short tape, 20 minutes. And because intuitively I was guided to do that. It was, I need to take this tape recorder and you need to record this even though you're not supposed to. So please forgive me, Rinpoche, for disobeying that. But anyway, it was in the guise of science. Anyway, right. So when I got back home, I plugged the tape recorder, as it was, into my hi-fi player and played it. And, I mean, it was basically all it was noise, you know, just like on the tape with an occasional cough.
Right.
But the energy in the room transformed itself. It's not to the same energy by any means, but it somehow bridged in time and space to that event whereby I could feel the energy in the room being connected to, and it was coming back into my lounge, and the hi-fi system was amplifying it in some way, and I had a tangible experience anytime I played it. I played it to friends, you know, I kept it for ages. But the point about that is it's we've created a bridge in space and time energetically to an event that's in the past.
Right. And you can feel exactly what was happening at that in that space and time.
Yeah, not exactly, but you can feel there's a change in energy.
Right.
And that is just so significant.
Yes.
You know, that is actually a key fundamental bit of information for anybody to start to wonder how all that stuff might work.
Right.
It's about bridging to a sacred place, you know, whether it's the Taj Mahal or whether it's some whatever it is. If you can bridge there consciously using your consciousness to extend your consciousness, your awareness to that place, the energy of such will come back.
I love it.
Of course, that could be a bad place. And a lot of people, inadvertently will worry about something. They will be constantly going over it subconsciously, underneath their conscious mind. They'll be going under it round and round and round and round. Well, every time they do that, they open up an energetic bridge to that problem or to that thing. And whatever's negative that's hanging around that thing comes back into their field.
Right.
So a person, you know, I learned this when I was started doing my therapies, first of all. When a person comes to you and they tell you a story, because they come to you for help, healing, whatever it is, they're going to tell you a story, but they've just told that story to their next door neighbor over coffee. That neighbor's told it to somebody else, and they've told it to somebody else. So they're connected to a busload of people energetically, right, because that story is connecting them.
Right.
So when they come to you, you have to detach them from that busload of story energetically, cut their cords, cut their chakra cords, in order to make them feel better. So there's so much going on to do with this bridging, you know, obviously in a positive way that we're looking at, but there is a negative side of it as well, where people do it accidentally, and they just keep repeating the energy of that and bringing it into their life. And that's the thing they manifest. The thing they think about is the thing they manifest.
Well, this is perfect. This is a perfect bridge, actually, into the question I wanted to get at next, which is like, how can this consciousness-assisted technology be helpful, and for whom? And you've already been talking about this, but what else can our listeners know? Like, how what you're creating and what your team is creating, how can it be helpful? And like, is there a certain type of person that it's helpful for, or a certain type of people who maybe it's not helpful for?
Some people could feel it more. So really, there are three different types of people who have different experiences with our technology. And that's typical, because we learn in different ways. You know, there's three ways of learning. You're either visual, you learn by listening, auditory, or you're a kinesthetic like me. So I'm a touchy-feely guy. My visual is probably about 10% in the mix. And my auditory, although I'm a sound engineer, surprisingly is only about 10% also. But 80%, I'm kinesthetic, so I feel everything everywhere. For another person, that mix would be different. So if we have a vibrational piece of equipment, or you go for hands-on healing, or you have Reiki, or you have color therapy, or, you know, depending what that therapy is depending how people will feel it. Some people say, oh, I feel great. That was feeling fantastic. A person who's visual, they say, oh, yes, there's a lot of clarity. You know, I have a lot of clarity in my, you know, my head is cleared. It's you know, and, you know, you can see how that might, some people will experience, have a better experience than others. Anyway, the idea is that vibrational, we call it vibrational medicine or informational medicine, will work for anybody, providing that their higher self is okay with it, because nothing happens unless that's okay. But, you know, there's a lot of grace around. I think that when I look at people, and I don't mean to be judgmental when I look at people, but I think, wow, I'm surprised they're allowed to let that go. You know, they've had that for so long, and, you know, they're really not over it yet. You know, they haven't worked through it or put the awareness into it, in my opinion. But by the grace of, you know, the higher self and everything else, they're allowed to let it go, on the basis that time is short.
Right. No, I hear what you're saying as well, because that it is surprising, because I see clients as well in different modalities of energy medicine and consciousness clearing. And it is surprising what is allowed to happen in a certain space and time, and what the highest self, and it is the highest self, and probably that person's higher guidance that allows the thing to let go or not. And how does that, when you're using your tools and your technology, how does that look to you? How does that appear when somebody lets go of something?
Usually they'd have, so if we just take a simple thing, perhaps not the pendant that I was just talking about, which is the fourth density one, because that is really a personal development tool for, you know, for increasing one's connection to the divine or to the higher self, etc., etc. But if we just take something more everyday, which would be like a stress pendant. So we do a stress pendant. So the stress pendant has a program inside it. It's just a pendant, you know, it's only an inch and a half high, weighs about 20 grams. You wear it around your neck. But inside it, it has a crystal, special crystal lattice that we make. And we program this lattice with our equipment, and we can put a formula into this lattice. And as you know, crystals hold energy, they hold information. Right. And that, and they will re-radiate that information into the biofield. Biofield being, we could say it's the aura. For some people, they say, what is it? So the biofield, as long as it's within 3 or 4 inches of the body, that's the etheric body. The etheric body, so it's the etheric body, the emotional body, the mental body, spiritual body. Well, the nearest to the physical is called the etheric. And providing this device is in that space, it starts to radiate out balancing patterns. So whatever that might be, stress, you can imagine people have got anxiety in their tummy. So the third chakra, which is located in that place, will be out of balance. So we specifically look at the balancing the third chakra, because we know it's going to be out of balance, and all the other chakras and grounding just done from one pendant, because the formula that we've written or put together is a series of different consciousness packages of information that are stored within the crystals. And when you hold the pendant, if the body's okay with it, again, then the patterns will go into the etheric body. The person will then take those patterns from the etheric body, and that will kickstart some form of healing within the person's body. So what that looks like is, they suddenly feel less stressed if it's a stress pendant, and they feel more grounded. It also, this particular one, cuts the cords that I was referring to about the buses, the busload of people that they've just told a story to, and they've passed that on, passed that on. So there's a thing called cutting the cords that bind. There is a book on it, Cutting the Cords That Bind. It's a great process. Only takes 15, 20 seconds to do the process of cutting your cords that binds you to other problems out there in your life. And it cuts the energy, basically, cuts the energy coming in. So that's Anyway, this little pendant, as I was talking about the stress pendant, basically it does that. So you can imagine what benefits there would be just by being more balanced in very quick time.
Absolutely. That's amazing. And actually what you just mentioned about cord cutting too, there's a little practice that I do before I go to sleep every night, which is just asking my guides to help cut all the cords that I have that are unbeneficial to all people, places, and things. And so I'm like really glad that that is a known thing and other people are doing
it. Yeah, there is a book on it. It's called Cutting the Cords That Bind. So I recommend for all of your listeners to just check that out on Amazon. I'm not sure whether it's still printed, but there'll be something like that.
There'll be something, yeah.
Yeah, it's only like a couple of pages of information. Once you've understood the principle, it takes literally a few seconds, and it's a total godsend. Mm-hmm. Absolute godsend.
Amazing. So, Victor, how are you using this consciousness assisted technology now? What's going on in your world right now? Anything new?
We are a research company. Basically, we do manufacture things in order to support our needs, and we sell them all over the world, which is absolutely fantastic. And thank you very much for everybody who's bought something from our site. But essentially, we are a research company looking to understand more and more and more about consciousness and how we might make something or other for balancing a human problem, which is where all the problems start and end, right? Probably. If we can help people raise their vibration to a point where they've let go of their baggage, you know, they can cross this artificial line that I was talking about.
Love it.
You know, we don't need anything else. They just need to do that. It's the inner engineering that needs to be done. There's you don't have to do anything else. We just have to get to that place. You know, we are in a dualistic society. I think that's by design. I don't think it's accidental. Right. It's by design. You know, we have to find our own route through that back to unity, however we define that, whatever religion that might be or spirituality. We have to get back to that place of unity. And I think everybody is searching for that place of unity. Just subconsciously, we just need to do that. We're programmed to search for that. But also, I think there's a time element here. I think there's an opportunity for everybody to raise their consciousness, and I think there's a line, fine line, and that line is coming up, in my opinion. I don't know when, so don't ask me. But the fact that my guides gave me this vision, my blue team, so I've got a team of, you know, other beings which are blue, quite tall, and two of them, they arrived and I had this vision in their presence, and it was like, holy crap, that doesn't look far away. Yeah. I was positively shocked, you know.
Wow.
So that was 5 years ago. So I've no idea where that line is now. I don't look, I think.
Tune back in and let us know.
It's closer.
Right.
A lot closer.
Yeah. Well, I am just so grateful for you joining us today. Is there anything else coming into your consciousness that you would like to share at this moment?
Well, there is a little bit about timelines and about realities.
Do you want to talk about that now, or is that going to be our bonus content topic?
Well, I could talk about it for a moment.
Yeah, let's preview that.
Let's preview it. There we go. Preview. I like your style.
I love it.
So there's a lot of information coming through to me and to others, many others. You know, we're not necessarily in a physical reality in as much as we can, you know, touch the computer in front of us and, you know, we can see the beautiful trees, et cetera, et cetera. But how about this? How about if this were a simulation, but we could use the word, sometimes words offend people, and I don't mean to do this. So I'm going to use a number of words which could mean the same thing. So simulation, so which could be a computer simulation, maybe not, but a neural simulation, which it could be. But how about if it were a game? I mean, some people who have had the terrible end of life would say, well, bloody hell, this is not a game. This has been really horrendous. Okay, well, let's say a play then, like a theatre play, where you get these people, actors, who are, you know, the top-notch actors in the world. Mm. And they come together and they play these different roles, these some of them are dastardly, some of them the villain, and some of them are the, you know, some of them are the healers or whatever.
Sure.
So what I've learned is that everybody in this play, all these top-notch actors, if you look at them in the play, you don't know that they're top-notch actors. You know, they're just looking, they look like the horriblest people.
Right.
But actually, they all have a fantastic soul that's connected to the divine. They're just choosing to play a role for each other. So they're choosing to be the villain, or they're choosing to be the good guy, or they're choosing to be whatever it is, whatever they need to play. Yeah. So I'm looking at it more, I won't use the word game, because I can see people cringing about the word game, or we're in a game. So we'll say a play. So these people, us, who are in this play, our higher selves and our souls are all equal at that high level. We've just chosen to come in and to be a part of this play and reflect things to each other.
Right.
But the thing is, if you know that, if you know it's a play, you can look at it and have a perspective which could actually be entirely different and make your day change. If you realize that the villain across the road there and the person who's doing this and the person that's doing that has actually a fantastic soul.
Right.
And then what happens is you can, instead of judging people and making that duality worse, you know, you can actually understand that they're just playing this role, and at the higher level, we are all connected and all as one. And it's actually a challenge. If you go and think of anybody in your life, any of your next door neighbors, the person down the road, whoever's playing the villain role, or whatever role it is, the perpetrator, the, you know, whatever role it is, you look at them in a different way. You could say, well, actually, you know, they're just playing that role. So you have to, in a way, you have to bless them for taking on that role.
Right.
Which is an incredibly different way of looking at duality.
It can change everything.
It can change everything and change people's perspective. Yeah. You know, whether you're black, white, whether you're of this particular sexual, you know, deviation or whatever people like to call things these days, because there's so many names.
Gender identity or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A woman, a man, a patriarch, a matriarch, whatever it might be. Trump, right. You know, they all fit in there.
Right.
So the thing to do is to look at everybody when they annoy you, or when you find yourself getting hooked in.
Mm-hmm.
Because lots of the world just goes by, you don't really care. But when something grabs your attention and it really, oh, I don't like that, or I, you know, I've got an opinion about that, then
that's a
reaction, exactly. Then at that moment there, you have to, you know, look at what I've just said and see whether that changes your perspective about that person's role. Because at that higher level, you know, even some of these horrible, dastardly things that are going on in the world, they've still got this higher soul, which we're all connected to and we're all equal to.
I love that, Victor. Thank you.
Anyways, so.
No, thank you for that preview. I'm excited to jump a little bit more into that with you in a few minutes here.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And how can folks find out more about you and what you do for our listeners?
We have a website, which is ascension-support-tools.com, which Rani's going to put at the bottom of the podcast.
Yes.
Also, you can look me up online, which is Victor Sims, S-I-M-S. And there's a couple of videos up there. We are going to make a few more shortly with lovely people like Renata doing an interview, which is going to be great. And that's really the easiest way. We've got emails and things on there if you wish to contact us or ask any questions.
I will share all of that as well. And I think we'll leave the meat of the interview right there for today. Victor, thank you so much for joining. It's been a pleasure and an honor. I've wanted to talk to you ever since meeting you a few months ago.
No, it's been absolutely fabulous. I really enjoyed myself, and thanks very much for inviting me.
Absolutely.
I want to thank Victor Sims so much for joining me in this conversation. As someone who came here in part to spiritualize the material and materialize the spiritual, I am fascinated by Victor and his line of work. If you are interested in learning more, check out www.ascension-support-tools.com. Victor and I went on to have a discussion about how to do the walk the timeline exercise, and we also went in depth about how to cut your cords in a bonus content discussion for the members of the Up Up and Awaken community on Patreon. If you are interested in listening to this awesome segment, please check out patreon.com/upupandawaken and become any type of member in the community. I am sure you won't regret it. I wanted to also briefly plug our new live course that I will be co-leading with Julia Malone called Exit the Matrix: Deprogram Your Mind and Become a Truth Magnet. This is a live 3-week remote course that takes a deep dive into subconscious clearing, becoming aware of and deprogramming and releasing old negative conditioning, trashing any subliminal messages that we have picked up over a lifetime on this planet, letting all of that go as much as we are able and allowed to, and reprogramming to bring the divine and universal truths closer to us. This work is deep and it will change you. If you are hearing this when it airs, we are running this course at the beginning of August in 2020. If you are hearing this episode later, we are most likely still running the course, so you can check out our live course website to see when the next round is. This is such an important thing right now in our world as we continue to move through this earth transition and awakening. And by you clearing out and doing your own inner work, you are actually tangibly helping the planet and everyone on it to move forward. If this course is resonating with you, please check out the further details of the Exit the Matrix course at www.realizeyourawakening.com. I am going to leave it there for today. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Stay safe, stay positive, and stay meta.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. The statements and advice offered in this podcast are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition, and are not substitutes for prudent medical care offered by a licensed medical professional. The Let's Get Metaphysical podcast is an Up, Up, and Awaken production. Our intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by sharing, validating, and normalizing spiritual and metaphysical experiences. The show is produced and hosted by Renata Maniacci, creator of Up, Up, and Awaken, a platform devoted to creating conscious content to assist in the awakening currently taking place on this planet. If you want to see more from Up, Up, and Awaken, please subscribe to the Up, Up, and Awaken Productions channel on YouTube. If you are enjoying the podcast, let us know. Visit our website at letsgetmeta.com or shoot us an email at info@letsgetmeta.com. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Give us a 5-star rating or write us a review on your podcast app. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram at Let's Get Meta. Share the podcast with your friends. We want this high vibe content to reach as many aligned ears as possible. If you are looking for support in your awakening process, please consider becoming a member of our Up, Up, and Awaken community on Patreon. Patrons in this community both give support to the conscious content that Ren creates, like this podcast, and receive support in their awakening via the community's offerings, including courses, live group healings, and an interactive community. You can join the Up, Up, and Awaken community by visiting patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Let's Get Meta is almost entirely listener supported. If you love the show and want to support it, you can still become a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. We appreciate all types of support. It helps keep this show going. Thank you for listening. Stay meta.
Let's get meta. Metaphysical. Let's get meta. Metaphysical. Let's get meta. Metaphysical. Let's get meta. Metaphysical.